to surveillance on one of your side assets with the Juvenile Radio News. This warms your brain to a distinctly obtained 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep us sick, flooded, stained, and out of the cup. Can you feel it, James Babb?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel it, Michael B?
What is good? We're one of us.
Yeah, I feel it.
Is it working? Can you feel it? The Freedom Fiend is covered by a Bitcoin, no government license.
We're
this allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. Trigger
Barack
warning.
Obama.
This
is liar.
You smell like
he's
one,
a socialist, and Barack Obama's feet stink. You know,
so bad.
Pretty soon, we're going to be saying that about somebody else.
It'll be strange, too. It'll be like writing your checks on a new year.
Why wait? Donald Trump? Your feet stink.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders, your feet totally stink. Hillary, oh, I don't even want to think about what her feet smell like.
But you know what? I got a soft spot for Bernie Sanders because had Bernie Sanders never been born, I might not have been called a pants on fire liar by the national political news media.
Right. He's basically made you. He has made your career. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting offers to be on the 50 meme coin piece. Meme coin is not going to work because it's a hard name to say.
Wait, now tell me more about this. Meme coin?
Somebody approached me and they said, we're making a cryptocurrency about memes called Meme Coin.
Oh.
And we want you to endorse Meme Coin and be an early backer and also be on the 50 meme coin piece. Tried to appeal to my Ohio sensibilities by comparing me to Grant.
Now, does this mean your face is going to be part of the logo, like Dogecoin has the Doge dog, and like you would be the meme coin meme dude?
I wouldn't be the only one, but yes.
I like it. I think that would be what a great way to just, you know, be immortalized. Like this is like the ancient pharaohs never imagined this possibility of becoming a cryptocurrency that it literally becomes its own afterlife. Wow.
The strange thing about it, though, is that instead of mining it on computers like you do for a traditional cryptocurrency, you make meme coin by sitting in your room alone because you just had a fight with your significant other.
Well, I'm assuming you mine it by creating memes, right? Generating memes, sharing memes. How do you generate this with him? How does this work?
You mine it like it's a traditional thing.
By making memes or just like a regular Bitcoin?
I think it's just regular old computer coin.
It's got to be meme based or it's what good is it? Right? What if every time
you give it
a Bernie Sanders meme and you include a certain hashtag or something on Twitter, it automatically generates a meme coin and you can spend these meme coins with anybody that wants to receive them. Right.
Well, I think the fairest way to run meme coin would be anytime someone likes or shares your meme.
Yeah,
that's.
This could be huge.
Yeah. So, if you're a developer out there that develops cryptocurrencies, get at me. I'll be on your rival to meme coin, whatever.
I want as a consultant, and this is what I suggest: is that, you know, some of these cryptocurrencies have some pre-mined coins. You say, look, I get 10% of the pre-mined coins up front, or I get to mine the first 5,000 meme coins. So basically, you start right away with a nice chunk. And that way when it takes off, you become super rich.
I believe the exact quote from Bernie Sanders, which I read on a meme, was speak softly and carry a fat sack of dank memes.
Worms.
That's what Bernie Sanders said. I should get that tattooed on my body.
Yeah.
Speak softly and carry a fat sack of dank memes.
Oh.
I would have to explain that to people whenever I took my shirt off, though. Like, go to the beach. What if you don't have your phone? You know, like, how could people be like, yo, do you carry a fat sack of dank memes? And then you look around. All you have is your keys and your wallet. And you're like, wow, no. That'd be awful. I can't think of anything worse. Because by getting that tattoo, you're basically obligating yourself to have your memes on your person all the time.
Well, in the future, that's going to be as important as, like, carrying a firearm.
That's where you start tattooing the memes themselves on your body. That's how you solve that problem.
No, I don't think so. Because the whole idea of a meme is this temporal nature, the moment, that is fleeting.
Yep.
Have you guys ever looked up the word meme and what it meant before cat pictures on the internet?
Like yeah. An idea?
Or, doing a radio show, babe. My wife's like, what? I'm preparing for my colonoscopy, and I am not having a good time.
How's your bra?
I want to share that. Yeah. All right. I had to run away because I coughed and something happened that shouldn't happen.
This is hashtag MWD colon.
Yep. You can follow live. Do we know if this is the first live
tweet? Live tweeting it tomorrow in
with video in 4K in, video, right?
In twilight sleep. Yeah.
So it's going to be IMAX. It's going to be an IMAX feature.
Yeah. I said I didn't want to do the show because I couldn't get off the toilet. James Babb says, don't you have a laptop?
Yeah.
Like, no.
More like a crap top.
Well, one of the nice things about Fiend Phone is this cough button, which is, it's well engineered, and I would have just hoped that you would use it judiciously if needed.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you guys have a show, and I'm going to go take care of...
You kids run along.
Emptying the pipes for the exam tomorrow. Have a good show. And don't talk about poop jokes. It's not funny.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about poop jokes. It's very serious business.
Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah, the meme coin. I'm going to be a meme coin millionaire.
I fully support this idea, and I want in on it. Okay, so meme coin, there it is.
You want in on the ground floor.
Yeah, as like a consultant or something, or a... You know, I could be a meme coin evangelist and they could like send me to shows and stuff around the world. I would do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you ran a meme revival where, you could do faith healings. Help, my memes are stale. They're not dank. And then I come, I lay my hands on you.
Hey, what do you think about this? I have mixed feelings about this, they call her the crisis actress meme girl. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think it's funny. Yeah, I think it's very funny. So for those of you who don't know, so there's a conspiracy allegation that there's proof that the government is orchestrating all the major tragedies because white people look the same. And
well summarized. Yes.
Yeah. Basically.
Look, it's another white girl.
Crying. That there's a crying white girl who's always on a phone, they say.
With brown hair.
Yeah. And she's got brown hair, brown shoulder length hair. And she shows up, she's on the phone, and she's crying. And so they put her in various tragedies throughout history. And like a lot of forms, these memes get stale very, very quickly. The dankosity is very quick to wear off with memes such as these. Isn't this kind of a unique moment
in meme history where the subject of the meme was involved in something so horrific? Okay, and it's like you kind of wonder, like the liberal douche character, or you're like, are they really liberal douches? Nobody knows, but it's still kind of funny, and it's not that big of a deal, right? But it's just like I don't really think that this woman deserves to be immortalized this way. I don't know. But I still want to laugh at it because it's kind of funny, but it's a guilty.
I'm gonna sound like the worst, most neckbearded libertarian men's rights activist, like awful person when I say this. But Jim Beam, you need to quit white knighting for this girl.
Well,
you're a social justice warrior who's worried about everybody's feelings, and and people need their memes. Like, you don't understand. Like, humanity cannot thrive.
Cannot stop the signal. It is not. No, you're no. Just ride the wave. Don't try to block it.
You got to run counter signal. And everybody listening to this needs to go out to Facebook and get on counter signal memes for fashy goys, because that is a very, very dank meme page. Definitely of interest to the audience.
Give out that page again. And can you put the link in the show notes?
I certainly can. It's counter signal memes for fashy, fashy goys, goys. Fantastic Facebook page.
Nice.
Really, really well done. The artwork is very distinct and stick figures. And they get it, and I will make sure it gets into the show notes.
Does ISIS have their own like meme department?
Rickrolled.
Well, I saw they're getting Rickrolled. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great story.
Yeah. Anonymous is getting at them, and I don't know how they do it. I would like to think that they have fake woman profiles, but it has to be a lot easier to do when like everyone has a sheet over their head to begin with, right?
I don't know. It's hard for me to keep up with. But when I heard that Anonymous was going after ISIS, I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. I said, there's definitely going to be some websites defaced in this engagement.
Some well, DDoS attacks they won't soon forget.
Yeah, will ISIS recover from this? Anyway, but then they said, well, they hacked a bunch of Twitter accounts. I'm like, oh, that's it. That is kind of interesting. You know, what I really want are the secret like communications between, you know, like
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton and Dick Cheney and, you know, whoever else. But, yeah, so they say we've hacked 20,000. Didn't they say something like that? Like, we've hacked 20,000 Twitter accounts. Like, just really? ISIS has 20,000 Twitter accounts? Really?
Yeah, 20,000. Count them. They probably bought a bunch of them. That's the thing. Like, it's so easy to just buy a bunch of Twitter followers and, you know, get a bunch of fake accounts that, you know, it took a lot of the fun out of it when people started being able to buy these things. Now anybody can, like, just buy a bunch of followers and then start walking around with their chest all puffed out thinking they're, like, they have, like, a huge following when it's likes and follows that you bought. Sad. It's the age we're living in.
But, you know, like, you can always tell when it's fake, though. Has anybody really done a good, like, robot algorithm that gives you, like, really convincing fakes?
I don't know.
There is a market opportunity there.
Somebody should get to work on that. This is the only Freedom Feeds episode that comes with, like, a homework assignment. Like, you need to create meme coin, and then you need to go create this robot algorithm to give us more accurate.
Right, create, like, an adaptive matrix that, like, creates believable fake profiles on social media.
From the people who brought you Fiend Phone, come the way to bring down ISIS with fake Facebook profiles.
And meme likes.
And meme likes. And false meme likes.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home. Wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Jim Beam.
Jim Beam.
Back with Jim Beam.
Great to be with you, Steve.
Yep. We were just talking about how ISIS should be shaking in their sandals over Anonymous and how Anonymous is going to bring them down.
I think this is pretty cool. And so what we were talking about is what they're calling, it's hashtag OpParis. Okay, that's in revenge for the deadly attacks. I'm reading some of the details. They put out a video.
You down with OP Paris?
Of course, right?
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, they said, they've taken down 20,000 Islamic State-linked Twitter accounts as it wages, quote-unquote, total war against the terrorist organization. Okay, so, yeah. Now,
how are they getting rid of them? Are they reporting them? That'd be the lamest way to get rid of them.
They're filing a complaint through the Twitter customer service portal. No, I don't think so.
We talked to Debbie at Twitter customer service.
Well, what it is, they're flooding them. Like we saw that thing with the Rick rolling. Okay, now that was another article where, like, if there are certain hashtags or certain accounts are used, it ends up like flooding those accounts with the Rickroll video.
Nice.
So you know, is this the warfare of the future? I mean, is this really, you know, are we going to be like, you know, like old and, you know, like in our rocking chairs and the old vet zone, be like, yeah, I remember when the meme wars began. It was around 2015.
Somebody taught Hillary how to use Pixlr, and the world was never the same after that.
Tell us more stories, Grandpappy.
Well,
the world was obliterated with memes.
That's how we slide into idiocracy, is the government officials just meme each other all day long. In Philadelphia City Council, they sit there on their phones the entire time. I don't know if you've ever been to Philadelphia City Council.
Oh, thank God, no.
Don't recommend it if you are sitting at home thinking about that.
You've been there.
I have.
And what was the occasion that you went there?
I was testifying at one point.
You were narking on somebody?
No, they were holding a hearing about some issue. I think it was eminent domain, and they were just taking commentary from the public. And nice. I still believed in things at the time. And that caused me to go, and I'm like, I'm going to give these people a piece of my mind. And I'm like, and you know what? And they might laugh at my jokes, which shows the state of the Philadelphia comedy scene. Like, you know, your open mics are bad when someone is willing to go and like be bored for hours, like way worse than like any open mic comedy show would bore you, just to get an audience of like 8 people who are on their phones. Things are pretty bad then.
Right. And they have about this, you know, even less interest level than just like any audience would of just random people on the street. Anyway, well, how did it go?
Not very well. They continued stealing people's property because they're the state. So
eminent domain in Philly. Big problem. Big problem.
Yeah. Huge problem. And so civil confiscation is a big thing, and yeah.
Oh, asset forfeiture. Man, these guys are just talk about, you know, they say libertarians are greedy, you know. Meanwhile, these guys are just taking whole neighborhoods, whole houses from people at a time. They just, whatever they want, they just reach out and grab, confiscating anything, hundreds of taxes, maybe not hundreds, but definitely dozens of taxes on poor victims of that municipality.
Yeah, and then they charge people for the privilege afterward. Like, oh,
right. Well, yeah. Hey, if some of our friends get their way, they'll have yet one more tax in Philly.
But there will be jobs. There will be 15 jobs. So,
of course, this is the new weed tax that would be.
I was at another meeting one time when they were trying to figure out whether to put in a live poultry place on the main avenue, which is right behind Block Lehigh Avenue here in Philly. And
a poultry facility where?
It was right here on Lehigh Avenue, like right in the middle of the city. Yeah.
I mean, like not out in the farm, like in the city.
No. There's cages worth of chickens, and you can get rabbits there, pigeons.
Oh, it looks like a retail thing. That's not like a farming operation.
Yeah, it's a retail. It's not a farming operation. And you can go there, you buy your animal, what have you. And people were concerned about the smell. And then they were like, but we're going to create 4 jobs, and 4 jobs in 1 hour. America.
What? Hey, this is 4 jobs, right?
There's 4 jobs. That tripled the job rate.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Back. So, in our new meme-topian future, it looks like we might go to hack war against China. That's what this article on the internet is telling me, and they've never been wrong before. It says here, the United States remains ill-prepared to combat state-backed cyber intrusions from China. And lawmakers should look at whether U.S.-based companies should be allowed to, quote, hack back to recover or wipe stolen data, a congressional advisory board said Tuesday.
Wow, that's so loaded with weird stuff. It's like, how do you even begin to unpack a basically a one run-on sentence paragraph. So the United States, so what do they mean by the United States? Like everybody within the borders or the United States government? I don't even know what they what that means.
Every right? single state. I think they went and they did, they were like, Utah, how do you feel? Wyoming, how you feel? Indiana, where you at on this? And yes, they apparently stood united on hacking back China.
Right. So then it says whether U.S.-based companies, okay, so now we're sort of focusing at U.S.-based companies are allowed to hack back. Okay, and again, just even hacking itself is a very vague term. And then to recover now or wipe stolen data. Now, okay, say, well, you have a, so there's basically it's like, hey, if somebody steals your data, can we go wipe it? Do you know what that means?
The fact that it's written like this kind of tells me that it's probably already happened. And well,
what it says to me is
records have been stolen.
No, it says to me is they're going to wipe it with a drone missile and say, well, you said we could wipe it. And this was the only way that we could recover this, you know, wipe the stolen data. And you said we could. So, yeah,
of course, we had to drone that wedding. Those people stole your debit card number. We take this stuff seriously.
Weird. So, congressional advisory body. What's a
There's a congressional advisory head, and then there's a congressional advisory body. And if you kill the congressional advisory head, the congressional advisory body will die.
That is not a terroristic threat. We do not do that.
It's not a terroristic threat. I'm just noting that Congress isn't like a worm, where like if you cut off part of it, it'll regenerate.
Sometimes it'll split into two worms, and they'll both.
Yeah, the House and the Senate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I don't know. Are you worried about Chinese hackers?
Not really. I have to say that when I wake up and like make my daily list of things I'm worried about, Chinese hackers rarely even get in the top 50. Not that I'm even like all that neurotic of a person, but yeah, just not worried about Chinese hackers. Of course, now that we said that, they might take down Fiendphone, but.
Well, you know, a lot of this probably has to do with intellectual property, right? Corporate espionage, yeah. Trying to steal other people's like trade secrets and stuff like that. And, right? Is that what they're looking for? Or are they looking to get just like dirt on each other? Like who's got a mistress and who lied about this or, you know, who has a environmental problem they didn't talk about or, you know, is that what it is? I don't know.
Trying to embarrass each other. I think governments, rather than trying to kill a bunch of people anymore, are just trying to like disrupt things in other countries, which is strange. They're just trying to be annoying. See, that's the thing. Trolling has been writ large too now. And maybe the government's just looking to troll one another for a while. I'd be okay with that if they showed a bunch of, you know, screenshots or what have you.
Well, you know what? If they could just switch over to a meme-based warfare, that I think
well,
it would.
If they wanted, if China wanted to go off the yuan and go on to meme coin, and I have 10% of the float, by God, go tomorrow.
Yeah. What if we did get those some of these Chinese bigwigs on board with meme coin?
That's a common scam that people do, is they say that like there's an Iraqi dinar thing coming or that they have a huge foreign currency valuation that's forthcoming, but they're going to sell you the currency directly. And
yeah, don't believe it when they say it. But when Steve tells you how to buy meme coin, jump on it.
Well, that's because those are foreign currencies. What I'm talking about is the greatest domestic/international currency ever made, and that is meme coin. And you need to get it on the ground floor. Get your memes.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
You have to meme hard if you're gonna meme. And you need a cryptocurrency to support it. That's just the age we're living in.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that.
Yep. Down with that.
So all right. So this is tied in with this like rickrolling ISIS thing, right? Okay, so think about it. ISIS gets rickrolled, suddenly Congress is concerned about hacking. Coincidence?
Well, they're getting shown up by Anonymous, assuming Anonymous isn't a government-sponsored entity. Which
The folks in ISIS, they said, oh, we're getting rickrolled. You got to do something. They contacted their handlers high up in the government, and the government put the word out. Hey, we got to do something about hacking now. You know, it's just basic client services, right?
Yeah, they went back to ISIS. ISIS was like, hey, it's making it really hard because we're getting all these fake profiles that, you know, want to sell us shoes and sunglasses. And yeah.
Right. So this is part of that op. This is part of that op Paris. Our upcoming action, spamming verified ISIS hashtags with Rickrolls. We'll release the list as soon as it is compiled. Okay,
their
so that means...
Their lists are terrible, though.
What's that?
Their lists are terrible, though. Did you see their KKK list? It was ridiculous.
Oh, right. Think about it. It's probably harder to get off of a list like that than it is to get off, like, the terror watch list, right? Like, if you, like, had the wrong hashtag at a Twitter
thing... People forget about this list, though. The terror watch list, like, is a pain every time you go to the airport.
Destroy your social media account if you actually happen to have... like the wrong hashtag or something, you ended up on this list that released. You're Rickrolled out of existence by Anonymous.
It's your own fault for going from hashtag please donate to hashtag please donate 72 virgins. That's what tipped ISIS off. It's tipped Anonymous off. Now they're after you. Bit virgins accepted. Any amount helps. Folks, I'm in desperate need of meme coin. So if you appreciate the work I do, hashtag please donate. And you know what? They're bigger buttons, James Babb.
That's what I've heard.
Christmas is coming up, and what better for your loved ones than a button that says Fiend Phone?
My kids already have buttons, but they don't have the new larger buttons. So
I have been wearing the Fiend Phone button as a clasp of my ghost tour cape because I'm a tour guide for the ghost tour, and I tell haunted stories. And... I've been clasping it because people think it's Edgar Allan Poe related because it kind of looks like a raven.
And that means that your tour is then covered by the BIPCOT no government license.
That's correct. Yeah. Let a government come and try to give my exact ghost tour. They won't be able to. It often imitated, never replicated. If you're ever in Philadelphia and you get a chance to take my ghost tour, please do so. It's one of the few things I do well.
Never taken this tour. I am going to take your tour.
Yeah, you definitely should. Yeah.
Where do I find the schedule and whatnot? How do I set this up?
It's all on ghosttour.com.
Ghosttour.com.
They took a bunch of photos for ghosttour.com, and my picture might be on there. But I have good reviews on the internet as well if you want to go to the like Ghost Tour's Yelp page or what have you. One review said I smelled bad, but the remaining reviews, and to be fair, they were right because my cape was moldy at the time and there was nothing I could do about it.
Well, it's a ghost tour. But, are you supposed to be like Daisy Fresh? This is about death and decay.
Sung my praises. And yeah, I nailed this.
I would just call that being like consistent and dedicated to the portrayal of your character.
Yeah, I smell like death.
Can you imagine what those dudes smelled like 250 years ago in Philly? I mean,
Colonial Philadelphia was a nasty, nasty place. Nobody ever bathed. Like, we think of the colonists and we think of them as being this, like, really churchy, pious people. They loved public cruelty. They would go to public hangings. They'd go watch people get tarred and feathered, like, stripped naked.
Yeah.
Then they, like, heat up this tar to, you know, 400 degrees or so. So basically, what we recognize as road tar today. Yeah. And they'd bring out the kids because it was, like, normal family entertainment. And that's just what you do. And you could tell them whatever, too. You know, like, oh, he didn't make his bed. And that's the reason he needs to be beheaded publicly by a hanging that goes wrong. Because they hadn't perfected the physics of hanging yet. So the head would snap right off sometimes.
Still, it was experimental technology.
Yeah.
It's cutting edge back then. But when I took... Philly smells a little bit better now. When I took my kids there, this is maybe like a year or two ago, my youngest, you know, we got out, you know, and we're walking around like downtown Center City, and my youngest says, it smells like Pork Fest here. I said, what? You know, she goes, yeah, it smells like Pork Fest. I said, what does that smell like? Like meat cooking and cigarettes. Yeah. Like, yep, pretty much nailed it. Yep.
And also, like, low-grade marijuana, like, clearly wrapped in some sort of, like, fakely flavored, like, tobacco wrapper. That's, like, an essential Philly smell. And if you're biking, you can, like, run into clouds of it. And it's pretty... And people's vapes, too. A lot of people vape in these days.
Yeah, I love it.
Getting your Liberty vape in.
Yeah, I'm glad I was never been a nicotine vapor person. It just seems like
I wasn't a nicotine, and I wasn't a Nika adult either. That was a teenage joke. There was a great Onion article, like way back in the golden age of the Onion, where the headline was "Tobacco companies deny that the nicotines are targeted at youth." The Onion had some great stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
I really had a lot of influence on me as a comedian, but when I went through my bitter, sarcastic years, like that sort of thing doesn't help because you just see everything through this like sardonic, snarky, like Reddity kind of lens.
Well, you have to temper that.
That's not a good world.
You have to temper that. You temper that edge, and
yeah,
you know, and forge it into a more solid comedy platform.
Yeah. Man does not live on snark alone.
Right. That's why we're all about the love here at Freedom Fiends, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the love.
People killing, people dying. Yep. People practice. Yeah. I don't. Where's the love? That's the name of that song. But yeah, that's what we're about. We're about love and worms.
And loving worms.
And buttons that beseech people to ask you about your worms.
Yeah. And, you know, in the next section, I got a funny cop story that I think would be kind of funny. You know,
right.
It's like, man, they give us so much good material.
Every time. Well, I became quasi-friends with that one former cop at the, yeah. You and I get together.
Former cop.
Where we go, cops follow.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Max must scavenge through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that school bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Yeah. All right, where were we, Steve?
You had an interaction with some officers of the law.
Oh, thank goodness it wasn't an interaction of my own. God forbid that would be horrible.
There's a first world problem. A third world problem is they literally come and shoot you in the head. A first world problem is I had to have a 30-second conversation with a cop.
That could happen. You know, I just saw a headline recirculated from September, and it was something like, cops storm wrong house, shoot dog, then the owner of the house, then each other. I kid you not. I'm like, it actually happened. Yeah, cops go into the wrong house, kill a dog, shoot a dude, then shoot each other. Man, everybody was fearing for their lives.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Oh, God. Anyway, but that's not the story that caught my attention. I mean, there's so many cop stories, right? It has to really be unique to stand out. This is Sanford police officer fired for singing at death metal concert. Did you see that story?
No.
Well, there's this Officer Ricks or whatever. A video shows him having the time of his life on stage with the band, singing a song that include the lyrics, "Let the killing begin." Now, the video reached the Sanford police chief, who immediately fired this guy, Ricks, okay? And he says, "An incident of this nature erodes the thin fibers of trust, which already exists between the community and the police, and it will not be tolerated within the Sanford Police Department." Okay, that was his official statement. So, think about that.
Will not
okay.
be tolerated. Ooh, man.
Get, well, what is?
I thought the tough talk now.
The interesting words were thin fibers of trust. Like, think about that. Even the cops know, basically everybody's onto their scam. I think that's how I translate that.
Every last person.
Anyway, pretty funny stuff, you know, but I don't know. Should a cop lose his job for that? Sure, because they should all lose their job for anything. What do you think, Steve?
There's just so many songs that I would love to hear the cops sing. Like, a lot of rap music comes to mind.
Or like the YMCA song.
Dixie. If you could get me, like, a big black Carl Winslow-style cop to sing Dixie, that would be pretty powerfully symbolic. And it would be good for recruiting liberals because it would have a bunch of emotional oomph. And you're never going to win with, like, a bunch of arguments about, like, the state and reason and things like that. But, man, if you were to be like, look, it makes people be racist against themselves, then, yeah.
That sounds hard. You know what? I'd rather just like, Rickroll bomb their Twitter feed. Like, take them out like ISIS. Yeah.
Do you have the appropriate mask for that?
It's, I don't know what that would be.
Make sure you get your mask that's sponsored by the Disney Corporation to prove that you are in anonymous.
I think there's a club card or a secret ring. I don't know.
Oh, I hope there's a Dakota ring. That would be amazing. And yeah. when you twist it, it unlocks ISIS Twitter handles. But you've got to listen to their radio show after school.
Gosh, I hope we don't accidentally end up in that list of ISIS Twitter feeds.
This is how I got banned from the Vatican. You know about this, right?
You got banned from the Vatican?
Yes. When the Pope came out with his Twitter account, I trolled the Vatican like pretty hard with Michael Burns, who I'm pretty sure you're Facebook friends with. And then when VataLeaks happened, so VataLeaks was kind of like WikiLeaks for the Vatican, and they released all this Vatican data. They listed seven people who were banned from the Vatican for various acts of internet trolling. And I was on the list, and Michael was on the list, but Michael was on the list three different times for three different accounts. And
that's called the sacred Trinity, right?
That's Trinity. They tell you no three times.
Judaism
that way.
I think I know you, and then we uncover these like gems of greatness. Wow.
Yeah, I was in that elite. What's up?
We're going to get back to that in the second hour. I got to know more about that.
For Dear Batty, new theme song coming up.
I'm scared of that.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM. We'll be right back.
humanitarian re-education centers, low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite, LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. Steve Miller, how you doing?
Pretty good. Well, James, it's time once again for our segment, Dear Babby. And this week, I'll be singing our theme song. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Is your whole life going down in flames? Is it blowing up and going down in flames? Oh, life is what you make it. Here's some free advice. So take it. Get your question on the Fiend Phone. Talk to James. Dear Babby.
Wow. That is quite an honor to be
involved in a
creative project of this caliber with you, and to be immortalized in song in that way is just it's just a breathtaking experience. Thank you. Thank you, Steve Miller.
I might change the second line from "Is it blowing up and going down in flames" to "Are you thinking about blowing out your brains?" But that might be a little bit insensitive.
Or shooting down some planes. Or
yeah.
Anyway.
See, you're talking about being concerned about getting onto a list, and then here you are. Anyway. So the questions were numerous for Dear Babby this week.
All right, well, let's just, you know, get people up to speed. And again, I'm not really thrilled about the name of this segment, although my friend Nick says definitely it is the right name, and is, even though I consider it kind of annoying, I'm just yielding to to market demand, and I'm going with it.
And I want to stress, as the presenter of the questions on Dear Babby, that under no circumstances are you to call Jim Babby. Like, that's not a nickname.
Well, you can't control these things. You can't control these things, but that's fine.
Yeah.
The important thing is that we're helping people. And this is a lot of times people say, oh, you libertarians, oh, you anarchists, you have all the answers, but you never tell us what to do. You never give, you know, you just want to be left alone. You're so selfish, always being left alone and stuff. But we got problems. Help us. Okay?
Yep.
Fair enough. We're here to help. Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
Our first letter this week begins, Dear Babby, I want to do my part to defeat ISIS. Should I hack them? How would I get started? I don't know much about computers. Signed, Noob in Newtown.
Wow. You know, and this is a great question, and I am really glad that we got it, because I wanted to give a good answer. So I figured, you know, who's going to really give us the scoop on this? So I, you know, checked with Anonymous. Turns out Anonymous has something called the Noob Guide, and it's to, you know, sort of get you started. And I think this could be really helpful. I learned a lot, because I'm not really, you know, that savvy, in this kind of technology. But they advise, okay, first and foremost, you have to understand that hacking is a broad term. There's many aspects. You know, most of which require programming skills, but that shouldn't stop you from using tools made available by the internet that you can take advantage of. Okay. Some of the stuff they give, it, you know, is just pretty solid for a lot of things, like learn HTML. They recommend Python for newbies as a programming language. They say it's fundamental and appropriate language that will kickstart you in the world of computing. Okay, so it's something I've been trying to get my kids interested in, actually. So, and that was before I even heard about it from Anonymous. Let's see.
You're the hipster of hacking.
Yeah. For somebody that, yeah, can, you know, that just recently got a Windows computer that works. Okay, now here's a good tip. Pro tip, okay? Well, first, before we get to the pro tip, they recommend getting a VPN, okay, or some kind of a proxy service, basically to mask your IP address. Now, here's a good tip. Do not take any recommendations from other Anonymous members, even ops. They could be trying to hook you up with a VPN service that is cooperating with the feds. Okay? So, you have to do your own research on a VPN, a virtual private network, the privacy policy, terms of service, etc. Okay? So, I think that's a good tip. Don't let people say, oh, this is the VPN you need. Okay? Unless it's Bola VPN, which is recommended by Freedom Feeds because it's awesome. But anyway, I'm not. You have to do your own research. So I thought that was pretty good. Now, here's the pro tip, though. Do not perform DDoS attacks. That's, I guess, distributed denial of service attacks while on a VPN. Okay, this might protect your data from the destination, but don't go as far as trusting them when you are sending endless packets over their servers. Does that make sense, Steve?
No. I'm a comedian.
Okay. You know. Well, this is already we're getting into some kind of advanced stuff here. So, but, you know, this is like the noob guide. And I think there's just some great stuff.
I would be interested to learn, though. And, I might go check this out because I'll have a couple days in Ohio coming up. So,
you know, it's,
I'll have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, I sent this, I have a link for this and I'll find some way to get it. I found it in the article about the Rickrolling was a link to this guide. And Michael didn't even want to post this link in the show notes because it's that hardcore. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, I don't know.
Too hardcore.
Seems like just kind of basic stuff here. But anyway, we'll get the link to this guide out there. A lot of good information in here. How to pick your OS recommends Linux, which is no surprise. They recommend Mint, Ubuntu, and Tails. Tails is the one that I've heard recommended by people, which is a pretty cool. Have you ever heard of Tails Linux?
Tails never fails. No, I've never heard it. Is there a rival one called Heads? I don't know.
No. Anyway, it's the whole OS runs on a thumb drive, okay? And you plug it in and you boot your computer from it, and it doesn't even write to the internal hard drive at all, okay? So when you log out, it's like as if you were never there. There is no writing to the disk. So that's pretty cool. But I've never successfully installed it, so maybe I'll give that another try. Anyway,
it's probably ever improving. These things are open source, right? So they're constantly updating them and making them a little better. So
yeah, you know, right.
I haven't given it a try in a while.
So anyway, but hopefully that's enough to get our listener at least started. I'm really interested in this stuff too, and you know, maybe we can kind of learn together, and we can all hack ISIS. And, you know, and anybody else that may deserve it in the future.
All right.
So, not that we're encouraging any illegal activity. We would never do that.
Nope. That's not what we do.
No.
We've got another question here. Okay. Dear Babby, the president of Mizzou, University of Missouri, Tim Wolf, resigned this week for failing to appreciate the struggle of minority communities. And institute mandatory diversity training. How can I overcome the enormous burden of white male guilt I carry for centuries of misdeeds? P.S. I am male. Oh, this guy feels bad about being a male.
Wow.
But yeah,
I can kind of relate to him in a way. I'm also male, and I'm white. Okay, and
coming out on the show.
I'm tall. Anyway, I got all these privileges too. So, it's a really good question. It's coming up a lot. And, you know, the first, you know, person I was like, well, I was thinking about it and, I came across this, there's this Ivy League professor. Now, if you believe this story, I want to say right up front that this story, I'm going to say is 50% chance of trolling, okay? Because it's just, I can't tell, okay? I can't tell if it's just really good trolling or if it's just the ridiculous world we live in. Right. So, but evidently this professor, she chose not to have children because they'd be white. Okay. Which I thought was kind of horribly racist. I don't know. But she is also very concerned about her own guilt of association, right? Like, oh my gosh, she's white. Anyway, so one of the things she decided
just written about it to Dear Babby.
Yeah, see, well, she's really sacrificing a lot here, right?
Yeah, we're only a week old and we're already solving the big issues.
Yeah, although I don't know if based on this, I don't think the gene pool is really going to miss out.
True.
But anyway, professor at University of Pennsylvania, okay, Anyway, evidently, she says, I sometimes don't want to be white either. There was a time in my 20s when everything I learned about the history of racism made me hate myself, my whiteness, my ancestors, and my descendants. And
weird
I remember
that,
deciding that I couldn't.
Period in her life would coincide with college.
She says, I remember deciding that I couldn't have biological children because I didn't want to propagate my privilege biologically. What Whoa. The heck does that mean?
Mic drop.
What? Anyway. Wow. She says stuff like, I dislike my whiteness, but I dislike the whiteness of other white people more. Okay, so she hated people based on their skin color. Is that...
All of the white animals on Animal Farm are equal, but some of the white animals are more annoying than the other white animals right. on the Animal Farm.
So she hates people because of their skin color. Am I allowed to call her racist, or was it being considered racist of me to call a white woman racist for hating white people?
Somebody, it's racist. It's racist against her kids that will never exist.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's discriminating on children. Anyway.
As someone without kids, I find it very odd, this recent trend for people to want to be congratulated for not having children. Because, like, let me tell you, it's really, really easy. You just don't have any. It's not a special achievement. Like, you're kind of living life on, like, the easy level, like, on video games. Because, like, you don't have, like, this tiny person, like, that's dependent on you for absolutely everything. You just run around and do whatever adult things you want all the time. I mean, it's 2:17 in the morning right now, and I'm on the radio.
So am I.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll have you know, though, that my kids, my daughter was on Freedom Fiends before I was. So, you know, having kids is okay. You know, can be all right.
Is one-upsmanship a family value in the Babb household?
Well, let's just say, you know,
before it was cool.
Hey, you know, I've tried to raise them to be media savvy, you know, and to be ready to seize media opportunities.
I got banned from the Vatican before this current pope. So,
yeah, you're banned from the Vatican. That is so awesome.
We'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
So,
we're trying to help a listener.
Yeah, trying to help a listener. People are feeling very triggered, which is why we included the trigger warning at the beginning of this segment. James, this woman is renouncing her whiteness.
The listener had a problem with their own guilt of association with other white people throughout time and space. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. So, like, oh, some other white guy did something bad, and I'm white. Oh, my God, I feel guilty. Okay, so I get that. And so when we started looking into this, I found this woman, this professor, that just seems to do completely the wrong thing. Okay, like, she also feels this, like, deep guilt for what other people have done. She probably also takes credit for what other people have done, right? Like, that's what collectivism is. It's this horrible notion that, yeah, like, you're part of, you're not an individual. So you just act as part of this larger organism of, like, white folk, okay? So you're guilty just because some other white folk did something. Completely ridiculous, right? So to our listener, the advice is to, you know, don't sweat it, you know, just be an individual and treat everybody like an individual. And there's really nothing to be guilty for besides your own behavior. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Yeah. And let me just personally say that I know the writer of this question. And yeah, you have a lot to feel guilty for.
You know, I'm still getting over, you know, the guilt about wiping out Neanderthals. And I, you know, I just feel like some kind of reparations are due to the descendants of Neanderthals.
go wallpaper their caves for them.
I don't know. It's just, you know,
I've run into those people on the internet, descendants of Neanderthals.
Yeah. Actually, we all have some Neanderthal ancestry, so.
All of us do.
Yeah, we should all get a DNA test, figure out how much Neanderthal you have, and if you're, say, above a certain threshold, you get reparations from all the more, you know, Homo sapiens, the Homo sapiens.
Thank you for not ending that sentence with the words, and if you rank and if you rank over a certain level, you get exterminated from humanity. Because that was what I was afraid you were going to go to. And no. I did not want to be a part of a eugenics advocacy conversation.
No, this is not
it's not what I'm rolling
with. The Invictus for Senate campaign.
Yeah, sorry for those people who've tuned in for that. we will, however, if you want to sponsor Freedom Fiends, we will endorse any brand of goat's blood. This is probably the number one show on which to sell your goat's blood.
Yeah.
More of our listeners are going to be interested than any other show. So sure. We are the place to come to. So please.
It's protects against chemtrails too.
Yeah.
Goat's blood.
Bust those clouds.
Speaking of fascists though, Donald Trump has been on a tear. Can you believe this, like, this new level of fascism that seems to be, like, popular fascism seems to be sweeping conservative America?
Some sort of database, I'm told.
Like, they're coming out with stuff like that, going, yeah, special, yeah, put them in a database for their religion, and, you know, put tags on them. Like, could you be even more, like, it's like, are they just trolling? Like, hey, let's see how close we can get to the Nazi party and have everybody, like, clap, right? And they just get closer and closer, and people just clap louder and louder. Next thing you know, we're hearing about the final solution, okay? This has got to stop.
If I were running for president, I would run a database to put all Swedish pop bands in a registry, and I would call it the Ace of Database.
The what?
It was that. The 90s. Okay. So there was if I were running for president, I would put all the Swedish pop bands in a registry, all the 90 Swedish pop bands in a registry, and I would call that registry the Ace of Database, and I stand by that joke. And there are listeners who get that, and I stand by it forever. And it might have bombed for one person, and there's nothing worse than bombing in front of one person, but I stand by that joke and will forever.
Okay.
Till the day that I die. Right. If you have to etch it on my grave.
That's the level of integrity you have. You throw it out there, and you stand behind it. You don't back down.
Nope, that one I'm not backing down from.
Yeah.
Nope, no siree. You bomb hard, you stick, and you know you throw at them what you got.
Yeah. So,
but if you're looking for a mother for your child, this lady's not going to do it for you if you're white. So sorry for those of you who have
talk about come just to doing it wrong. And this is like a woman that's being paid to teach other people, like. I don't understand, like, what kind of weird feedback loops start happening in these academic settings, because it just seems like insanity reverberates down the halls of these institutions.
I feel microaggressed.
I've been definitely triggered.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So, Betty, Thaddeus Russell, for those of you who don't know, Thaddeus Russell, he's a historian. He's an author. He wrote a book called A Renegade History. Great book if you ever get a chance. Highly recommended.
He's an academic, too, but he's sort of like our kind of like a little window into that world, too, because he's not insane.
Right. And as such, he saw the insanity in this. So yeah. This was proposed at Occidental College, where he used to teach. I don't know if he currently does or not, but where he taught at least at one point, and where also Barack Obama was a student at one point before transferring out. And anyway, here's what they're proposing: mandatory diversity training for all faculty, including mandatory ally training.
Oh God.
The development of, quote, an effective mechanism for students to address and report microaggressions or other conflicts between students and faculty, end quote.
Like a phone app. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, yeah, what if you had everybody had a special app in their hand, and if they feel microaggressed, they just tap, and it records their location, photographs everybody around, and
there's a microaggression street team that gets there immediately.
Yeah, like, exactly. And a special tweet goes out to to all the race baiters. And
if you're within 50 feet of a microaggression, you get a text message at once. Like someone in your immediate area has been microaggressed. Check your privilege. Anyway,
yeah. And if it reaches a certain threshold, Jesse Jackson is notified. And
all departments, presumably including the natural sciences, must incorporate issues of cultural and racial identity and diversity in their curricula. Criteria for tenure and promotion to include promoting success of a diverse group of students, and in particular, historically underrepresented students of color. Development of pedagogy that will focus on teaching in, through, and with social movements. The intention will be to harness and institutionalize the curriculum by the AGC participants, protesters, and one that centers issues of social justice and identity in our academics. Then Thaddeus Russell writes, "This, the most far-reaching assault on academic freedom I've seen in 30 years in the academy, has been proposed by the governing body of the Occidental College faculty." So it's the faculty, not the students, that are proposing this. Yeah.
Sad.
2015, kids.
Why would anyone want to be in a place like that? I don't understand.
I don't know. You must have gotten there by accident. Am I right?
Oh!
There we go.
That's harsh. I dig Thaddeus Russell. Now, you were just telling me you recently read his book, didn't you? The Renegade History.
I didn't recently read his book. I recently plugged his book on the Ghost Tour. I do every time.
Oh, okay, that's
tour,
right.
I talk about his book.
Yeah, you talk about it on your Ghost Tour
years ago.
Right.
Yeah. But A Renegade History of the United States, highly, highly recommended. You learn a lot.
And this helps with your Ghost Tour. Do you have like famous drinking spots
City Tavern is on the Ghost Tour, and that was the place. So all the taverns were arranged by trade, right? So there weren't offices. Like if you needed shoes, you went to a shoemaker's tavern. If you wanted a horse, there was like a horse trader's tavern,
okay,
etc. And they were arranged by guilds, and every guild had their own tavern. So you'd walk into the bar and you'd have like a beer with the people, whatever. And there was City Tavern, and that was where all the city officials would go, and that was where you would just go to bribe city horrible. Officials.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. And John Adams lived like right down the block, and he talked about how it was the most like disgusting, like vomit-ridden, prostitute-laden part of town.
And I was like, it'd be neat to see like this is where Ben Franklin puked his guts out. You know, like this is
the entire city.
Yeah.
And you can still see the actual vomit there because in homage to Ben, people have been vomiting on every street corner in the city for years and years. It was just recently that I realized that you don't have to wait to go find a bathroom. You could just urinate anywhere in the city and nobody will care.
Well, listen, anywhere. Not anywhere. You need to find one of the designated SEPTA stairwells, okay? Please have some courtesy, okay? Use the SEPTA stairwell like anybody else.
I found that SEPTA, which is our public transit system, for those of you not familiar, they have these
power... It's not our public transit system. It's their public transit system. And sometimes we try to interact with it to various levels of success.
Yeah, this is true.
It's a monopoly imposed upon us.
one time I lied my way into a trial on SEPTA-Court because SEPTA-Court proceedings, unlike normal court proceedings, are not open to the public. And I had to say I was a witness in order to get into this trial that I wanted to watch.
Ooh, interesting. Now, I got to know more about this. Why would you want to sneak into a SEPTA-Court? So, right, this is like, it's such a rogue agency. They have their own courts.
They have their own police force, and then they have their own court, right?
Their own justice, their own code. Do not cross them.
Yeah, exactly. And people were being brought in for absolutely heinous crimes, like trying to sell tokens for cash. Because people give homeless people tokens a lot of the time, and they would try to sell them for cash. And then the cops would hate that because only we're allowed to sell our tokens. And they would have to come into court. And generally, if you showed up for court, you'd get found not guilty. A lot of these people were
selling tokens.
Yeah. God. Selling tokens. Smoking was a big thing too. People having a cigarette in a non-smoking zone.
Really? They enforce that now with their own courts. Wow.
Yeah. You go to court as a result. Well, you have the option of just paying, but, if you go and you argue and yeah. Because the police don't show up for these things. So, you know,
they're too
the
drunk.
Cops don't show up. Yeah, exactly. They're too drunk and also, like no. Let me go defend my honor on a smoking ticket that I wrote out 6 weeks ago. You know, no, they don't care.
Right. So, it goes on the book that they're, well, that just means they don't have to patrol because they're listed as court duty that day. Then they just hit the bar. Nobody cares. Nobody misses them. Nobody, you know, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with them taking a day to do nothing. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Every day would be great.
A friend of mine got arrested on SEPTA, and then I went to his trial.
So, was that the one who got two cans of pepper spray in the face?
No, he didn't get two cans of pepper spray in the face.
Oh, that's somebody else we know that got arrested by SEPTA. Yeah.
Somebody got... I definitely remember. I wasn't there when that happened, though. But yeah, two cans of pepper spray in the face. I'm glad I wasn't there for that because that always creates like a cloud, and there's no way to not be pepper sprayed if you pepper spray somebody.
He seemed to handle it well, considering. And I don't know if we want to give out his name.
Right, but he used
Mike
to have
Salvi.
A podcast that involved the world.
Super super guy
on the Freedom Fiends.
Super guy.
Yeah. God bless Mike Salvi.
There is no listen. You know what? He's the kind of guy that would take two cans of pepper spray in the face for you. You know, like, good guy. He did not deserve whatever he got.
He only deserved one can of pepper spray to the face.
I'd say, you know, maybe maybe a little spritz, you know, but I don't think a full can in the face. No.
Yeah. And you got to remember that a full can is more than one, like, serving. I don't know how many times they recommend.
It's to take down, like, six bears. You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm sure they have a big old jug of that stuff, right? Like,
I've got bear repellent.
Awful.
I've got bear repellent.
SEPTA. Mm-hmm. What a sad excuse. And people defend it, man. The left, God, they just love to talk about, oh, gosh, they gush over it while they drive their Prius somewhere else. You know, they're like, they just love the idea of other people taking public transit. They're obsessed with other people using it, but don't want to touch it themselves.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so nice because you can just take it right into the city if you want. And I mean, we all go to the airport, right? And, you know, if that's there, you could park your car more inexpensively. Oh, okay. Well, that's definitely worth it.
Right, because we have this other
definitely
cartel.
Worth having your own court system.
Right, because they have another cartel called the Philadelphia Parking Authority, which has completely locked down all the parking opportunities, and city council has restricted other people from opening parking lots to keep parking prices artificially high and maintain scarcity. All right, so another reason to take SEPTA.
Yeah. Just don't have a car.
You know, have you been impacted negatively by one cartel? There's another cartel ready to help you with your problem.
Show me the doll where the parking authority touched you.
Oh, God. Do you know anybody in this region that hasn't been touched by the Philadelphia Parking Authority?
No, they have all been repeatedly molested, and I mean that in the classic sense of bothered.
Wow. No, these guys are hardcore. You know, like, man, I you think of like, you know, parking, you know, meter people, like, oh, like those people that, you know, like in Keene that, like, you know, that get upset when you put money in their meter. No, these guys are packing. Okay. These guys are towing like thousands of cars a day. These guys are doing this like wholesale extortion car thieving racket. Like, it is incredible the scale of that's going on there. Man, brutal. I could make them like a lifetime project, just taking those guys on.
It would be a worthy use of a life, I'd have to say. I mean, most people just, you know, sit, they do whatever. But if you were to actively take down them, that would be quite the something, James.
I'm not saying I could take them down, but, you know, you could slow them down. Maybe you could do a little damage. Maybe you could...
You'd be a little stupid on YouTube, and that's worth something, I would have to say.
You know, I just want to help people escape them, that's all. You know, I just don't want to see people become their victims, so, you know.
Victims of the parking authority.
That it is the only branch of city government that is, like, 100% efficient. Like, they let no car escape their clutches.
See, what you're saying is, oh, this parking authority is so bad. But what I'm hearing is the government needs to set up a number so that you can report when you get microaggressed by the parking authority.
They don't microaggress. They definitely macroaggress.
That's a macroaggression.
It's a macroaggression, okay? Yeah, when they're towing your car away, that's macroaggression. That's real aggression. That's real... You're stealing my car level aggression. That's carjacker aggression.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It literally jacking it up onto a tow truck.
Yeah, literally jacking.
Because carjackers don't normally have a jack. That's the thing. And the parking authority has like a fleet full of jacks at their disposal. Any given time, just jack your car up and take it away. And then they can retroactively, you know, come up with a reason.
We'll come back with something more positive than the parking authority after this trip to the market. Something more uplifting and cheerful.
More uplifting than a tow truck.
Ooh.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. All right, this is the final segment, Redemption in the Third Act. Steve, do we have some good news?
Indeed, we do. So, Vermin Supreme, Lord love him, arrived, and I feel like this is a watershed moment. Like,
oh, it's huge.
When Obama gave one of his speeches, because everybody just, whites especially, just loved it when Obama would speak. Oh man!
Oh yeah!
He's given a speech, and man, he really like said some words, and just made me feel great. And
yeah,
just speaking.
Yeah,
and I really feel like Vermin Supreme showed up.
I felt that way when I see that boot on his head.
You see that
this feeling just washes over me where I feel like somebody is finally bringing the level of dignity to the political process that it deserves. I think that it's just finally, I can just feel good about the process again because a man like Vermin Supreme is there. And it's, you know, he's in the news because today he did announce that he filed his paperwork in New Hampshire for the presidential primary. So he is Boom. He is in. He's doing it, and he's making big news. He's got some great stuff. He plans on defeating ISIS by going back in time. Okay, yeah, and everybody's going to get a pony. Okay, now I consider this to be at least as realistic a platform as any, you know, quote unquote, you know, mainstream candidate, right? This is far more plausible than anything I've heard from Hillary or Bernie or the Trump. So, yeah, I'm thrilled too.
If he could go back in time to defeat ISIS, the amount of other things that you could solve are going to be incredible. And the advances you're going to see, the world is going to lap at her really quickly.
Well, time travel has always been part of his platform when he's run for office in the past on time travel. And I think it's great because, you know, he might not get elected for another 50 years, but then if he gets in, well, he'll have time travel. He can come back and fix all this screwed up stuff we have now. So, and it actually is, when you think about it, the only way you could defeat ISIS is to go back before the CIA created them and prevent them from doing it. Right?
Like, you go back before the CIA was created.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
But how do you know the CIA won't send somebody back to stop you from stopping them? And, you know, next thing you know, it's the Terminator paradox.
No, you're thinking of Time Cop with Steven Seagal, and God bless Time Cop.
I never saw that.
Oh, my God. Time Cop
I've seen
so
every
funny.
Terminator, though. Anyway.
Yeah, you need to watch Time Cop.
Okay,
and it's
I'll
free.
Check that out.
Canistream.it. You can watch Time Cop for free. Watch that. Go read some Renegade History of the United States. Counter Signal Memes for Fashy Goys. Steve Miller on the internet. James Babb.
Yeah.
Yep. We got our plugs.
Hey, we got to give a shout out to Shire Sharing. Okay. And for folks that don't know, Shire Sharing is a charity. It's based in New Hampshire, but there's supporters all over the place, including myself, run by Amanda Boulden, and they just provided Thanksgiving meals for over 600 families that need them in New Hampshire. 600, not just 600 meals, okay, but she actually paid attention to their dietary requirements and family, the types of family members they have, and making sure that each meal is customized to the family it's provided for. Like over 100 volunteers made it happen. And I really think they deserve a nice shout out, doing a fantastic job. They raised like $26,000, something, you know, pretty big. So,
if you're going to donate your money and donate your Bitcoins, give it to people like this who are doing actual things that help people, and not to libertarian podcasters that don't put out episodes.
Right. And you're not saying freedom fiends there. You can give money to freedom fiends. But, these guys definitely deserve support. I was happy to throw them a couple FRNs. I'm too stingy to send them my Bitcoin, but just happy to help them out, and because they're incredible work. And it's particularly good because Amanda is a state representative, and she's doing good work.
Whoa.
Worms. She's okay for a state rep. All right. Been good time with you, Steve Miller.
Indeed. 'Twas a pleasure. Take care.